that you take from me as a younger brother, an older brother, depending on your age. And I really believe the Holy Spirit this morning is going to speak to us. I know he's been speaking to me through it and challenging me with it. And I believe at the end, we're going to open up the altar and the Holy Spirit is just going to be speaking to people and step forward. Don't be afraid to move closer and take a step towards God. How many know taking a step towards God is a good thing? It is. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord God, that you are truth, that you are light, and your word, Lord God, has been given to us for our benefit, Lord. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you take control of this service, Lord, for the remainder of my speech, of everything, Lord, and every thought that is not of you, let it be gone in Jesus' name. I pray that the Spirit would speak today and that you would have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Who's ever seen kids fight for toys? Yeah? I got to say, sometimes I like watching it. Maybe that's the sadistic part of me, you know. You actually, you know, my kids growing up, when they would have a toy in the corner and it would be sitting there, but the minute one of them picked it up, all, you know, the others want it. And it becomes this tug of war of mine, it's mine, it's mine. And, you know, they battle for this toy. And this morning we're going to be speaking about ownership and the things that go along with ownership. And funnily enough, as you get older, I think it still happens. And I can share this story with you. A few years ago, like every good Italian, I renovated my backyard and had 25 cubic metres of cement poured into my backyard. And it's not painted green, and no, I don't water it. And what ended up happening was, my dad, being the experienced concreter that he is, he said to me, Marco, you're going to have a veggie patch? I said, yes, Dad, I definitely want a veggie patch. Because, you know, I like fresh vegetables and herbs and so on. And he was very good, very good. And this one day, I come home from work, and he'd been, you know, preparing and all the rest of it. And all of a sudden, I go outside, and he'd pegged out this veggie patch that was half my backyard. And I sat there and I said, Dad, what's that? And he goes, this is the garden, you know, veggie patch. I said, Papa, no, it's too big. And he started to proceed to tell me, no, you need the garden this big, you put more fruit, the sun. He was giving all of his experience into my backyard. And funnily enough, an argument pursued. And I started saying, Dad, I don't want it that big, you know, I'm busy. I just want something small, low maintenance, that I can come in, quickly dig it up and it's done. I don't want to work half a day in the yard every week. And he then, you know, the argument proceeded, and then he goes, oh, no, you're stupid, and he walked off. Because he was proceeding to tell me, he wanted to tell me his experience that, because in his backyard, every tree is literally, you can eat something of it. Because he reckons if you just have a tree for the sake of it, what good is that? You've got to get something out of it. But it boiled down to me staking my claim that I had to get into an argument with him, and I had to say, you know what, Dad, this is my house. This is my backyard. I pay the bills here. That's the way it's going to be. I had to take ownership and I had to speak it to him. And that's when he stormed off. And it's interesting, we're going to go through a passage of scripture in a moment where we're going to see how the ownership factor was not there. And as I said earlier, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to challenge us this morning about taking ownership of our faith in Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you that if you have a faith based on your brother, your sister, your mother, whoever, your friend, your neighbor, and Jesus Christ is not your own today, you need to take that step. Jesus Christ needs to be our own. Can I hear an amen? Our faith in him needs to be our own, needs to belong to us. It can't be something that we're going on the hearsay or the practices of someone else. It's got to be our faith in Jesus Christ has to be our own. And funnily enough, when things are our own, we maintain them. Wouldn't you agree? We do things to keep them going. Before I go into the scripture, I'll just give you a little snapshot of the history of what's happened. This scripture comes at a point in time when Israel is going through judgment. Now, remember, Israel wasn't a nation early on. They had come out of Egypt. They were slaves. They had had 10 plagues. Their God, our God, had given them miraculous things so that they could be freed from slavery. They then go into the desert. They go to the Red Sea. God opens up the sea. They cross over and the Egyptians are defeated. That's how good God is and was looking after them. Israel then goes into the desert. Now, I don't know about you, but the desert is hot during summer. You would agree with that, or, you know, it's hot in the desert. But God is so gracious that what he did then, if you go through the Old Testament, he looked after them and led them by a cloud by day. So wherever this cloud went, they knew that's the direction they had to travel, and it was also a reprieve from the sun. How good is God? At night, the desert gets cold, and God would give them a pillar of fire, again for direction and for warmth. They hunger for meat, God sends them quail. They're thirsty, water from a rock. They're hungry, they get manna every day. Breakfast in bed, they walk out, and there's manna on the floor that they can collect. This is that nation that I'm talking about, that we're going to see. They go through that journey, and then they get to a point where they reach the promised land. And they, you know, they set up the temple. They've got kings, and they set up the temple, and all of a sudden God becomes not the God of their forefathers who had done all those miraculous things. All of a sudden God had been diminished to the God of the temple or the God of just the festivals that were happening. Then what happens? They get to this point and God said, I've had enough. I'm going to execute judgment. And he uses King Nebuchadnezzar at this point in time to execute judgment. There's battles going on and Israel diminishes in size. So much so that the verses that we're going to read, they say it's a remnant. So there's only a few left. So if you can turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 42, and we're going to read the first three verses. Jeremiah chapter 42, if you've got your iPhones or whatever, grab your Bible. It's always a good thing when a preacher shares the word and says verses, go find it for yourself. Test what they say against the word of God. Can I hear an amen? It's a good thing. Over the past year, I've been reading the Bible chronologically. You know, chronologically being in sequence. And I can tell you, if you've struggled to read the Bible, you know, the little Bible apps that you get, the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, it's great. It's got reading plans. Do it chronologically. It's actually like a novel. You read the Bible like a novel where you see all the sequence of events, and it's a beautiful thing. You get to see it. When I was reading it this way, these verses just hit me between the eyes. The first three verses of Jeremiah 42 says this. Then all the guerrilla leaders, including Johanan, son of Kariah, and Jezaniah, son of Hoshaiah, and all the people, from the least to the greatest, approached Jeremiah the prophet. They said, please pray to the Lord your God for us. As you can see, we are only a tiny remnant compared to what we were before. Pray that the Lord your God will show us what to do and where to go. It's interesting to see the words here, the tense that they use. As I said, it was right at a point in time when judgment was falling on Israel. Jeremiah the prophet is also known as the weeping prophet. Do we know why? It's because he was living at a time when that execution, that judgment was falling in Israel. And he's weeping because he could see these things, and he'd been prophesying about it for many years. You know, the prophet Jeremiah also got put away into prison because his message was extremely unpopular. You know, false prophets would say, oh, no, Jeremiah's prophecies aren't right. You know, they're too depressing. Just, you know, lock him up. And he's known as the weeping prophet for that, because he was actually, he wrote Lamentations as well. He was seeing execution of the judgment being executed by God. And right at these verses, we see they go to the man of God. Israel comes to that point in time. War's about to happen. King Nebuchadnezzar's coming. And they're thinking, what do we do? Oh no, let's go to the man of God. But it's interesting, they're tense. I've underlined it in my notes. It says, please pray to the Lord your God for us. Verse 3, pray that the Lord your God will show us what to do and where to go. Interesting tense. This is the same nation that years earlier had God hovering by cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. This is the same nation that had God at doing everything that they needed, water, food, and so on. All of a sudden, God had been boxed when they came to their nation. They'd been boxed. Things hadn't been passed on from father to son. And they get to this point where they go to the prophet and say, pray to the Lord, your God, for us. Do you think they had an ownership in God at that point? You know what the interesting thing is? If you read on in Jeremiah chapter 42, what was actually happening was they were questioning Jeremiah and saying, this king, mighty King Nebuchadnezzar, is coming. What should we do? Should we go back to Egypt? Back the truck up a minute. Wasn't Egypt where they were enslaved for 400 years? Why would they want to go back there? Security? What they knew? Well, God had not become their own. Let's look at some things that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to challenge us with this morning. Of when things are our own, what do? When we have ownership. The first thing we see is that when something is ours, we maintain it. We give it our time and effort. Would you agree? Yeah? We give it our time and effort. We maintain it. Israel had come at this point because they had not maintained their faith. Now, growing up, I inherited my first car. It was a nice six-seater yellow Valiant. And my dad gave it to me and he gave me the keys. And when I got it on my 18th birthday, let me tell you, it was my car and it already had rust. I would wash it every Saturday. It became rustier, but it was the cleanest rusty yellow Valiant you ever saw. Because it was mine. I maintained it. It's funny how our homes are the same. You know, if we don't maintain our homes, things happen. If we don't maintain our cars, our Ducos fade. You know, it doesn't get us to what they do. They don't operate the way they're supposed to if we don't maintain the things we have. Our cars, our homes, whatever else it may be. If we don't maintain our bodies, we know the consequences of it. When things are your own, you maintain them. You see, your faith, my faith, church, if we don't maintain it, if we don't nurture it, if we don't prune it, allow God to prune it, our faith can die. And I know when I went through my own journey as a teenager, as I said, when I got my license, I accepted the Lord when I was 13. And when I became 18, I thought I knew a bit better and I partied up a bit. Funnily enough, though, I still felt the urgency in my spirit to still go to church on Sundays. And part of me, the reason why I would always want to do that is because I knew and I still believe that God's word speaks. Amen. Amen. That God uses preachers, that God uses anyone in church who's sharing, people in the foyer as you're talking. God will use and can use people to say a God-given message to you. So we need to maintain our faith. You know, when we come to church, praise and worship is part of maintenance. No amens. Amen. Praise and worship in our church is part of maintenance, maintaining our faith, getting our faith stirred up, burning it so it's fanned into flames. Reading God's word is a part of maintenance. Hanging out with other believers is part of God's maintenance for our faith. Praying to Him in the Spirit is part of maintaining our faith. We need to maintain a faith that is our own. We need to maintain a church. And sadly, I believe, you know, in Australia that at the moment we are becoming more and more secular by the day. By the day. Did you know our parliament, our fundamental beliefs are, you know, founded on the Word of God as a nation? Did you know that? Where is it now? Christians haven't maintained it. It's become, oh, you know, you don't mix politics and religion. And where is it now? The next point. When something is ours, we speak well of it. Anyone here heard of someone when they've just bought a new product, how, you know, could be, for argument's sake, when the latest, you know, iPhone came out, or, you know, the latest car or whatever else it may be, how they tell, man, I bought this, it is fantastic, you need to buy it. For me, it's like a, you know, good restaurant. If I hear someone that's had a good restaurant experience, I like to go there, right? Because, you know, they all of a sudden they become a salesman for that chain or for that product. Why? Because they've bought it and they want to promote it. It's, you know, companies value that. You know, that word of mouth is huge. And when our faith is our own in Jesus Christ, do you believe we need to speak well of it? Do you believe we need to speak of Jesus Christ? Amen. Do you believe we need to speak of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Day to day. It could be one-on-one conversations at work. You know what the funny thing is? No one else is scared. The minorities can shout their opinion. They are very vocal. And sometimes me, as a Christian who knows the living God, who has the Holy Spirit living in me, who Jesus Christ bought me with his blood, we go, When was the last time you shared your faith? Just with the people around you. You don't need a soapbox to stand up. Just over a coffee, conversations with your neighbours or whatever. When was the last time? Everyone else is vocal. Church, let me encourage you, do not be afraid to share your faith. Do not be afraid. Do not. It's a good thing to share your faith. When something's your own, you speak well of it. Funnily enough, when we don't share it, sometimes we can internalize. You know, yesterday, I forgot to mention this at the first service, but brilliant example. Pastor Gary shared about how for evangelism, you know, if we're not sharing, sometimes we can start criticizing our own selves. And he spoke about how the flow of the Jordan River in Israel, there's the Jordan River, there's the Sea of Galilee where there's a lot of fish and everything else like that. And then the river flows down south further and it ends up in the Dead Sea where it's all salty and there's no fish there. And you know why? It's because it's stagnant. It's not moving. Water needs to flow for it to be healthy. So if we want healthy lives, let God's grace and love and mercy flow out of you. Let the message that God has given you flow out. Can I hear an amen, yeah? It needs to flow out of us for it to be alive in us. Because, you know, funnily enough, then what happens is we start internalizing our conversations. And let me give you this example. I'll ask Shannon to come up. I had Pastor Gary come up in the first service and he's too tall. I'm a short Italian and it was hard for me. So if you could just hold that to your face, mate. Thank you. There's a few zits there, mate, but I'll tell you about it later. What clear water does? So picture, I'm looking at Shannon through a clear glass. I know him for who he is. He's just a great bloke, great man of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And I can see Shannon as he is. His beautiful smile, his blue eyes, his red hair, and all his character, I can just see it come through. But funnily enough, when we, you know, don't speak well of him or let's say church or anything else like that, this is negative comments. So this cordial represents negative comments and, you know, stuff that can just be said that, you know, can be quite hurtful sometimes. So, like, it's like this. Did you know Shannon is a Collingwood supporter? All of a sudden, he's getting a little bit cloudier. Can't see him as clear. Did you know Shannon has red hair? And we can keep going and keep going, and then all of a sudden... Sorry. Hang on, not there. All of a sudden, the more and more negativity that we hear about Shannon or about church or about this and that, about other people, all of a sudden I can't see them for who they are. All of a sudden, Shannon's orange. He's not clear like he was before. Thanks, bro. He's not clear like he was before. Because we've taken on the words of other people and our perception changes. Our perception changes. And you know, our church isn't perfect. No church is, because we're here. And I think sometimes we need to learn, brothers and sisters, and I encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself here, we need to give each other more grace and understand that words can do that. Can change our views, change our perceptions, and all of a sudden, like the Dead Sea, we become, start becoming stagnant. We need to let rivers of living water flow through us. You know, if we pour more clear water in that, what will happen? It'll start to go clear again. That's what we need to let happen. We need to speak well. I don't know about you, but as a dad, I know my kids' faults. I got three kids. I can tell you Gabriel's strengths and his weaknesses. I can tell you Josiah's strengths and his weaknesses. I can tell you Elizabeth's strengths and her weaknesses in their character. I'm their dad. But all of a sudden, if you start, someone else comes and starts telling me, you know what's going to happen with me? The Italian father's going to come out and go, "What did you say about my kids?" Understanding what the Spirit's saying, guys? We need to speak well of our church. When things are happening that we believe we can share an opinion on, go for it. Do it in love. Be real. Approach the people that might have hurt you or so on. Go on the front foot. I'm not saying live in fairyland and pretend everything's nice. But speak well. Speak well. Because, you know, on the flip side, the enemy is throwing stuff our way, and I'll get to that in a moment. James chapter 3, verses 7 to 9 says this: people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. We need to be careful of our tongue. I need to be careful of my tongue. You know, I was saying, I listen to 3AW because I like to get a litmus test of what's going out in society at the moment. And let me tell you, the church, Christianity, gets mud thrown at it like nothing else. We get verbally bashed on the radio almost every day. That's just on AW. And, you know, people come into question about our faith. How can they believe something so nonsense that a guy dying on the cross somewhere in the Middle East? And they don't, you know, they're throwing mud our way. Can I just give you a word of encouragement, church, and a call to action? Let's not, when that mud gets thrown, let's not pick it up and wipe it in our faces. There's enough mud. If the mud comes in, pick it up, throw it out. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah? The next thing we do when something is our own, we fight to protect it. Like I mentioned about, you know, if you were to tell me about my kids, my natural father's heart will be to defend them. If I didn't defend them, I think you would question my fatherhood, wouldn't you? And we see here that Israel had become complacent in their faith. In those verses we just read, as I said, they'd come up to a point where everything was rosy, fine and dandy. They had the temple, they had the practices, they had the festivals. Oh, God is great. But God was just boxed in the church or boxed in the temple. Can I encourage you, church, don't live like that. Don't make God the God of Sunday. Make the God your God every day. He needs to be your Jesus every day. You've got the Holy Spirit with you every day. In good, in bad, in ugly times, He's there with you. He's there with me. And we see that, you know, at that point in time, they had gotten over all of these. They had fights, they had battles. You know, God had cleared the path for them as a nation, that they had many victories. And, you know, God's word actually says that what they were supposed to do is to go into those nations and all of their evil practices were supposed to be crushed. All of their idols were supposed to be thrown out and burned. But sadly, you know what actually happened? Instead of fighting against these enemies, when the Israelites got there, they actually took on their practices. Some of their practices were quite horrendous. Offering their children up as burnt sacrifices, worshipping poles, worshipping statues. How is it that a God of the universe, creator of the universe, they had seen Him move day in, day out, and all of a sudden they're worshipping a pole made with human hands. They'd got to that point, all the battles had been won for them, and they got complacent. They got to a point of comfort. This is nice. You know, there's one little benefit with war, and this is going to sound a little bit out there, but one benefit with war is that it keeps us on alert. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this: "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." I don't know about you, but it hurts me when things are being attacked at our church or at our faith. And I think sometimes we waste a lot of energy talking and fighting against, you know, amongst even ourselves, almost like a bit of a mutiny happening. I really believe the Holy Spirit is challenging us, guys. You know what? Don't waste your energy on that. We are not fighting against each other. There is a lost world out there that needs us to take our ground and step out and say, "I'm going to fight for the cause of Christ." We need to step out. Our battle is not in here. Our battle is out there. Lives are going to hell, even in my own family. And we worry about sometimes, you know, "Oh, the decorations in the church, they weren't too good." Hear my heart, guys. We need to fight. You know, could you imagine if an army was to be put together and all of a sudden they started turning guns at one another? How ridiculous that would look. I think sometimes we do it with our mouths, with our actions. No, 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 look out. Look out, guys. Let's look out. Let's look at the people around us that are looking. You know, people aren't afraid. I was saying earlier, people aren't afraid of sharing their faiths, the minorities. You know, you can go, I think it's next week or something, and I was speaking to some people I used to work with in my previous job. That, you know, they had just been on the weekend to the Mind, Soul, Spirit Festival, and I think it's coming on this week, and they were saying, "Oh, you know, we bought this crystals that if you put them in your water, you know, it helps you to almost get a third eye, and, you know, out of your brain, and you see things clearly." And I'm sitting there, you know, they kept on talking. I got to say, my stomach was twisting, and I'm thinking, okay. And then they say, and these guys also, you know, prayed to angels. They believed they had guardian angels, this and that. When they got to that point, it was in my gut. I said, why would you pray to angels when you can go straight to the CEO? Why would you pray to an angel when you can go to Jesus Christ himself, who all authority is given under heaven? I just said, why would you go to the CEO? Why wouldn't you go to the CEO rather than praying to angels? They're vocal out there, church. Let's not shrink back. Let's not be shrinking violets. Let's stand proud with what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we've got a gospel message to give out. Because when we start looking internally, we will say the most silly things and sometimes can be so petty. And I'm talking for myself, guys. I've been guilty of it and I still am. We need to change it. We need to change it and know that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities. There are people out there that are being held captive. And God can use you with a Holy Spirit-inspired word or a Holy Spirit-inspired moment to lead them, to give them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God can use you in your workplace. God can use you at school, with your neighbors, wherever you are, he can use you. I was saying to one of the sisters in the first church, in the first service, if God can use a donkey, if God can use a donkey with a human voice, he can use me. We've all been given a message, church. Each and every one of you has got your own call and your own message, your own testimony, your own ability to just share the love of Christ. Don't shrink back. The enemy wants to keep you focused on things around you that you can just see this far. Look, lift up and say, hey, you know what? We're fighting for the kingdom of God. I'm going to play a part in the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's stand, and I'm going to ask the worship team if we can do Awakening, that song, please. The words in this song are so powerful. Awake my soul. Awake my soul. I really believe this word, church, has been can be seen as a bit heavy, but I believe it's a call to action. It's a call to action for me. It's a call to action for all of us, I believe. And as I said earlier, we're going to open up the altar, and the pastors and leaders will pray with you. Don't be afraid. Don't shrink back in this moment where if you believe the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, jump forward. And I'm going to open up the altar in these two ways. If you believe your faith hasn't been maintained or you haven't been speaking well or you haven't fought enough, come forward and we'll pray with you that God gives you that zeal to just keep going. You know, if you're like that today, it's okay. God can lift you. And God can spur you on some more. The Holy Spirit can give you the faith you need to tackle each day. And on the other side of the equation, I want to encourage people, if you have just lived on the edge a little bit, or you're not sure about this whole Jesus thing, and you've only been coming to church because, you know what, I got invited and, yeah, I don't know. You've never made faith in Jesus Christ your own. Step forward. Because this morning I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to take that step because he wants to seal you. He wants to let you know that you are his. You know what? Jesus has no problem in owning your life. He died for it. He died for you. He's there. It's up to you to take that step. So as we sing that song, we just allow the Holy Spirit. I'll ask you, for those of you who don't come forward, please don't spectate. Just close your eyes and intercede. Intercede that the Spirit would do things, that the Spirit would touch lives, that the Spirit would spur people on to go in their next step and walk with Christ. Let's sing.